Hello and welcome to the first episode of Sharkcast Radio for 2018. Sharkcast Radio is a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks brought to you by Dyson Logistics. I am Shark Fanatic Newman and Samuel and I are on the beers for episode 1, 2018. How are you, mate?
Happy New Year, my friend. Happy New Year to all of our listeners. The New Year has just passed. We're downtown in Caringbark. It can't get any more southern, well, aside from Woolooware and Cronulla and Kurnell, than the Caringbar Inn.
So let's paint a picture here. We're in the Caringbar pub doing our weekly podcast and taking advantage of the fact that a new pub has opened in Caringbar and there's not that many people here at Caringbar pub. So it's nice and quiet, but we're having a delicious frosty beer.
We are actually under a banner of the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, which you can see on our Twitter. And there's Gal and all the boys, Ennis.
Kenny Steve or Carney. Rogers.
I remember that sign, yeah.
Yeah, Kenny or Carney on the old Brett Carney days. So, we wish you a happy Christmas and a very safe and prosperous new year. But interesting times for the Sharks this year, Samuel. The comp, I feel, is wide open. We've got a good mix of youth and experience, and I think that we should be having high hopes this year.
Oh, completely. I think it's a big change for the Sharks on and off the field, which we'll get into. I don't know how wide open it is because I think the Roosters, if fit, are very much favourites.
100%. And yeah. New Year's Eve, I went to a party. A good friend of mine is a tragic, tragic Roosters supporter. And we had a long chat about how basically the Roosters have 2 years to win a comp. And if they don't, it is like the most monumental choke of all time. But that you can have them as favourites. They can have favoritism.
Yeah.
Right? And anything can happen between now and then. And the Storm are going to slide, but I don't think they're going to slide that much. And so I think the comp's like wide open. I don't think there's any team that's there to be feared.
Aside from the Roosters.
What, you fear the Roosters?
Nah, I don't fear anyone.
Don't fear the Roosters. Come on, baby.
It's going to be interesting. A lot of change in the NRL. A lot of change at the Sharkies. Our back line is going to be lethal.
I'm excited.
And different.
I'm just going to say, Samuel, I think our squad this year is infinitely stronger than it was last year.
Yeah, and there's going to be a bit more enthusiasm in the youth there. And, you know, it'll take probably a month to gel, I think. But when they do, I think it's going to be a really, really fun team to watch.
Word has washed in across the Mangrovey Shores towards Botany Bay of what is happening at pre-season training. That's a little bit of a funny one because the boys from the World Cup still aren't back, Samuel.
Yeah, right.
So speaking to some of the staff down there, they said that it's given the young guys a real opportunity to push their case. And the coaching staff are excited. Apparently, our mate, Moisa.
Now, you've TM'd that, right? That's your copyright. Because you're going to make a lot of money.
I didn't make that.
It's not? Okay. Well, you're the most passionate about it.
His mates at Penrith made it up.
All right.
But the word is incredibly skillful. No, there's been no one as skillful at the club since Todd Carney, is the word I'm hearing.
Okay. It's going to be awesome. His combination with Val and even with Chad and young Jaden Braley is going to be fascinating to watch. I hope he really takes on a big role, almost like a leadership kind of role. He's a half, so it's going to be very important for him to shine each and every week. I want to see him involved, basically.
So from what I'm hearing is outside of the training paddock, he's a very shy individual.
Yes.
Struggling to get two words out of him. Won't really talk, won't really, you know, just very shy, polite kind of guy, kid from Sydney's West on the field. He will take control, he bosses people around, he'll have no hesitation over calling the older players. So that's a great mix. I'm excited about the addition of Moisa. I love James Maloney, I love what he did for the club, and I thank him and wish him well, but you know, if he's going to dish up the tripe that he dished up last year, then we're on a massive upgrade.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me because I don't think about last year. I think about 2016. That's where my head's at.
Yep.
You know, I'm not going to say he was dealt harshly because I don't know how he was behaving behind the scenes either. You know, he certainly wouldn't take a back seat to anyone, James Maloney, especially verbally.
Oh, no, he was the general on the field. Like,
yeah.
But apparently they were concerned that because of Moyes' personality, he was, you know, nowhere near like James Maloney the pest, and he's, you know, he's talking to the press about player salaries, and he's with that really dominant personality. They were worried that as a half, because Moylan's so shy, he wouldn't express those qualities, but on the field, he just does everything the half needs to do.
Yeah, and he's on big money. Like, he's there to do a job, and he's expected to do a job, and we hope that he will. We're pretty confident he will. Our friend Rob Willis, media manager, told us he has the hands of a skillsman.
That's right. See, this is the talk about skill.
Yeah.
So some of the things he can do with the football in his hands and with the football on his feet hasn't been seen at the club since, you know, apparently Todd Carney blew a lot of people away with some of the tricks he could do and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah.
Welcome, Moisa. Now, the other thing I'm hearing from within the training camp is some of the young charges pushing forward, but young Braden Ualee from the North Queensland Cowboys has really pushed his case forward for a spot in the 17. They're very excited about his prospects.
Yeah, no, I followed him last year mostly in the lower grades. I think he played one or two NRL games, but when we signed him, I started following him heavily and hit the old YouTube. And I recommend everyone to get on there and have a look at him on the YouTube, because there's a few good clips there showing what he can do, particularly close to the line. And he reminds me of a slightly smaller frame Fifita with the same kind of attitude and skill.
Very hungry, apparently.
Yep.
Very hungry. Hungry for first grade.
He's got an offload.
Hungry to be in the 17, which is, you know, compared to a guy that's maybe got 150 games under his belt, might have lost the fire. And I'm led to believe that that's why they moved on our mate Sam Tagatese, because they saw so much in Braden Ualee.
Yeah, we all know about Sam. He's the loveliest man off the field. On the field, he can be lethal, but he can also just be in second gear. So he had a lot of chances. He won us a comp.
He was with us for a long time,
Sam. We'll love him, yeah. Oh, he's not young. He's not young. I mean, of that position, you can play to a certain age, of course.
Yep.
So he's got life in him, which is great for
him. How do you reckon he'll go at Bennett's Broncos? Such an odd signing for them.
I think that when he gets his chance, he will need to dominate. He will need to impress them. I don't think Wayne Bennett's going to give him the lifespan that of Shane Flanagan did, particularly because they have so many players there at their dispense. I think he'll get a shot, though, and if he's smart and if he's up for it, I think that he could maybe cement a spot there, but he'll have to do it, you know, first game in. Some big hits, some big runs.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we cut to a break, Samuel, and we'll give our sponsors a bit of a pep, and when we come back on the other side, we'll look at what else is happening around the club. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
On the NRL Sunday ticket.
Here it is.
Up, up. Cronulla, the boys in the black, white and blue. Up, up, Cronulla, name of the Sharks fits you. Sharks, Sharks forever, go out and play without fear. Now's the time to see good football for the Sharks.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to the time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. And this may bore some of our listeners to tears, but as people know, it's right in my wheelhouse. There's been some political news within the club, and that political news, Samuel, is that, as we all know, Lyle Gorman moved on. We talked about that last episode of Sharkcast Radio. But there has been half a replacement issued, and that is Mr. Tim McAleer. In somewhat controversial circumstances, Tim has been appointed to the role of CEO or Managing Director, I can't remember the exact title, of Cronulla Sutherland Leagues Club.
Yep.
And this is not the football club. This is just the Leagues Club's operation. Now, he's an incredibly successful Leagues Club or club operator. He will take credit for building tradies up from a standard suburban trade union club or local community club to the essential powerhouse that it is today. The reason his appointment is controversial is he has been very vocal in his criticisms of Cronulla Sutherland Leagues Club.
In times gone by.
And people who know what's happening in clubland were scratching their heads because he has a policy, I believe, that he's not interested in investing in anything to do with green around the club. And that's pool tables, snooker tables, golf courses, football fields, sporting fields. And he's basically said that the reason tradies is such a successful club is that they don't have those millstones around their neck.
They just run a club.
They run a club. He's been hostile, outwardly hostile towards the Sharks because they've been a competitor of his.
Yep.
If you go back to the days of our mate Damien Irvine, there was to be a merger between, and Jonathan Docking, our mate Jonathan Docking, there was to be a merger between the tradies. And when we were in much sort of stormier water, a merger between tradies and Sharkies, and it was Tim McAleer that scuppered that. So it was basically, you know, the heads of agreement were drawn up, they went in to sign them, and he scuppered it at the last minute. So,
and that would have saved us before the development or around?
100% correct.
Yeah, okay.
So we would have been, I don't know how the terms of work would have been, but he just basically said he didn't want to take on the Sharks, and he's been outwardly hostile and even lampooned the club publicly. But aside from that, he never worked for the Sharks when he was making these comments. He is an extremely successful and shrewd club operator. So I've actually reached out to him via email, and we do want to get him on. It just hasn't been able to happen over the New Year's period. But it's an interesting appointment in that, you know, he's a highly successful and very, well, he's an excellent operator, but he's been, you know, hostile towards the Sharks before. So what do you think, Sam?
If you could dumb it down for me even more, Newman, the Sharks are saying they want to make more out of their Leagues Club right now.
100% correct.
And he's the man to do it. And that leaves an empty spot at the football club.
So the football club management position, whether that's a CEO or a general manager, that position is still vacant. And I believe there's talk of Glenn Coleman filling that role.
Who we met on Grand Final night.
Yeah, and he's a very, very smart operator.
And did the job for a short time in the past. He was in charge for a short stint during some heady times.
Okay, so, you know, Docko's got a lot of time for Glenn Coleman, and yeah. I rang him and got the skinny, because John Docking is a big mover and shaker he'll be embarrassed to hear that. He works in club land, they call it club land. So he works in pokies and gaming and entertainment in the, you know, registered clubs, licensed clubs industry. So he knows that landscape, and he's got a professional relationship with Tim McAleer, and he said that in terms of a business appointment, excellent choice.
Okay.
But, you know, he's got the baggage of history that goes with him. So that's an interesting appointment.
I'm worried, Newman, about the football side of things. The Leagues Club, for me, is almost a secondary. I know it's important.
But the Leagues Club funds the football club operations.
It does. It does.
Now, would it surprise you to know that the Sharks media team, the budget comes out of the Leagues Club?
That does surprise me, yes. I probably should know that, yeah.
So it's incumbent on the entire organisation that the Leagues Club does well.
That's there to be proven to be a great asset, this gentleman. Time will tell. Fingers crossed. The football side of things, we're missing Loughlorman.
We will miss Loughlorman.
He can't be replaced.
No.
But I kind of hope someone does replace him. So what's happening there?
Well, nothing's happening there. Apparently, they're interviewing. No one's rang me yet, Samuel. You'll be disappointed to know.
I'm not going to comment on that, actually.
No one's rang me yet.
But the season's approaching. What's happening? It's not going to be like in years gone by where there's been no one there, right?
I believe they're interviewing slash recruiting. I don't know exactly what's happening with it. You need to have a great operator at the football club, and I don't know. I mean, we've got Dino Mazzatesta. He's the new chairman.
Yep.
And he has no public profile, as opposed to Damien Keogh, who had a highly public profile. Right. So it's very difficult to know what's going on down there.
Right.
And the good thing about what Lyle Gorman did was he left the club in good shape in terms of strategy.
Yeah.
But I'm led to believe that Lyle was a big spender.
Oh.
And this is pure speculation from what I'm hearing around the traps.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the debt that we thought was has been wound back has blown back out because Lyle basically to fix things threw money at the problem.
Okay, that's interesting.
So that's the political news, the appointment of Tim McAleer. We will have a chat with him.
It's important stuff. I know it's a little bit dull to hear on a podcast, but it is important stuff. It's not fun, but we want to know what's going on from on and off the field. Newman, I've been given an exclusive list of our squad for this year.
Okay. Are you now leaking confidential Fox Sports information?
No, I got it from the Sharks. It's all kosher. There's some young guys in this extended squad, let me tell you, from the under-20s team. A lot of them in the trials at least, will get a shot. But, I mean, I can even see a guy like Britton Nakora maybe, just a couple of these back rowers maybe, just they might be able to do something, and then if there's injuries, get their shot next year. A lot of the young backs have been named in the squad. That'll be a stretch if too many of those guys get a go, but As you've already said throughout the year, Newman, and I've said it elsewhere, I'm hearing Kyle Flanagan is going to be given a shot at some point during the year.
I'm not hearing that.
I'm hearing it, buddy.
Who are you hearing it from?
One person was on the training staff, and he's a former player who won a premiership.
He won a premiership, and he might work for Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Okay, so I also have some contacts within the coaching staff, and they say the opposite. So, who do we believe, Sam? Who do we believe? We can only pass on what we hear, right?
I'm not saying it's a done deal. I'm just saying from several other sources as well who aren't as informed as Michael Ennis is. No, I just think it's a fascinating story. I mean, it's not often the Sharks have a half in waiting, is it?
No, and I mean,
it's been a long time.
But he's untested. You know, he's young and just, let's just...
I'm not saying they should do it. I'm saying that I'm hearing they're going to do it at some point.
Well, what happens if Chad Townsend gets injured, right? Because apparently, what's his name? The guy we got from South Gray.
Yeah.
Apparently he's injured, right?
He's born injured, the poor fella.
Born injured, right? So if Chad Townsend goes down in the trial with a busted ACL, who do we put in at seven?
Well, I hope he's ready to go because he might get the call up.
I mean, this time last year, we were hemming and hawing about Jaden Brayley. Is he ready? Yeah, can he do it? Can he shoulder the defensive work?
I said he was ready, Newman.
Yeah, and everyone was rightly concerned about that, and he proved that he was beyond capable of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And his brother is also impressing everyone. Yes, yes.
That's him knocking on the door.
And I guess he could also play a half role should...
Yeah, he's got more of those skills than his brother does. All right, so let's cut to a break, Samuel. Pump up the sponsors. You're going to go to the bar.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimia Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget they did that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Welcome back to the show, Sharkcast Radio, as they say, a voice of the fans. Samuel, we put the word out on Twitter that we were going to go record a pod, so there's a couple of questions flying in. What do you got for us?
Some great stuff. The first one I'm going to ask, it's from our friend Dana from Orange.
Yep.
And she said, will Newman shout me a drink this season? The answer is...
I will show you many drinks, Dana, because I left you in the lurch last year. I got sick and didn't make the game.
What?
And you came down...
two games, I think.
Yeah,
I
saw twice. So I definitely owe you more than one drink.
Thank you for that, Dana. Daniel from the inner west of Sydney says, hey, boys, getting back to work early. Does Sione Katoa play a role in the NRL side this year?
Maybe. Not. See, it's hard to say at this point in time because... You know, if the top 20 players make it through the entire season, then he doesn't. But we all know that's not going to happen, right? And if we have a lot of injuries to outside backs, I'm led to believe that he's sort of like, if one of the wingers goes down, you know, he's probably first or second off the rank.
We were told he was training very, very well.
Yeah, yeah. We all know Flanagan's attitude towards youth.
Yeah,
so
that's the one thing going against him. He's young.
He's young. But I would think that I wouldn't be in the first 8 rounds. I'd be surprised, but beyond that, would not be surprised.
The kid's talented.
Is he 20 yet?
I can't tell you that right now off the top of my head.
Well, I'll be calling Newtown games this year, Samuel. How do you feel about that?
What's going on there? Give us a scoop.
I'm joining the team at Steel Sports. Albie Tallarico.
Yeah.
Quite a funny in life how things work out. I don't know if you knew. Well, our listeners knew, but I entered that Footy Voice competition.
On Triple M.
On Triple M. I was pipped by Albie Tallarico from Steel Sports.
Well... Albie won, but you were pipped by someone else.
Yeah, I know. I was robbed. It was daylight robbery.
There was a story there.
Do you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, because I know who cost you, and I'm happy for you to say who it was.
So anyway, the way that tournament works was you basically sent them in, 30 seconds of commentary, and then they'd play it on air against somebody else, right? Yeah. And I made it through like 4 and 5 rounds and got to the final round, which was the 2015 grand final where the Cowboys score at the end.
Yeah.
Right. And I recorded my thing.
Kyle Felt.
That's right. And I thought it was pretty good. And
it was
anyway,
good.
They played my bit and they played this other guy's bit. And I thought my bit was objectively better. Not by heaps. Like, I didn't destroy the guy. I thought that it was objectively better. And they played my bit. And they went, yeah, that's good. And then they played the other guy's bit. And they went, And then so it comes down to a vote. And James Hooper goes, yep, Newman. He was the guy. And then who was next? Gerds went, yeah, Newman was good. And then Wendell Saylor turns around and goes, well, you've got to give a vote to the other guy. I thought he's okay. So there's a vote for the other guy. And then Tony Squires comes in and goes, well, I thought that he was pretty good, so I'm going to go with the other guy, right? And there's a deadlock. And they go on and on, back and forward about who wins. And then they just essentially go, okay, so who was the winner? They go, oh, yeah, the other guy. And they just moved on.
Now, you know what that is, Newman? That's a dragon conspiracy.
That's
Tony
right.
Squires, Fox Sports talent. I'm not going to go too hard on him. Wendell Saylor, dragon.
Then following weekend, I went to the grand final luncheon. On a work do, and guess who the MC was?
Tony Squires.
100% correct. And I had 13, 14
sure.
stubbies,
sure.
right? I got my suit on, Paul Gallen's there,
yeah.
JT's there. Yeah. Look, it was quite a good day. And just before it ended and I'd had a fair bit to drink, I went and sat next to Tony Squires. And he turned around and goes, oh, where'd you come from? I said, you don't know who I am, do you? He says, no. And I said, do you remember the Footy Voice competition last weekend? The guy He couldn't decide who it was, so he went with the other guy, and he goes, "You are fucking kidding me. That wasn't you, was it?" I'm like, "It was." And he goes, "I'm so sorry." He's like, "The whole competition was a shambles."
he's a nice guy.
And he's like, "Oh," he's like, "really? The winner was predetermined anyway, so it didn't really matter."
Now we have to say we love Albie. So.
No, and Albie, the reason the winner was predetermined was because Albie's like, he's had a lifelong dream of becoming an NRL commentator.
Yeah.
And he's pumped a lot of money and time into it.
Yeah.
And he's a great mate of mine, Albie.
Yeah, he's a good
fan. He won, and I was very happy for him to win, but he does New South Wales Cup commentary,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be joining him on the team, which is exciting. Anyway, we've gone down the rabbit hole.
No, we want to know. You're calling Newtown Jets. That's a very strong connection to the Sharks. So you might be calling Kyle Flanagan's kicking from the sideline, that kind of stuff. Yeah. We have more questions. Newman.
Okay.
This is from our friend Lynn in Caringbah. A couple of questions here. She wants to know starting round one team lineup.
Ooh, you go.
Well, we might come back to that, Lenny, but...
Come on, Sam.
She also wants to know... No, because someone else has asked that. She wants to know the potential impact of the coaching staff changes, i.e. Jim Dimmick, Bomber Morris coming up. It's your sort of alley down there, Newman.
Okay, well, Bomber, great bloke, love him. Actually saw him today.
Yeah.
We were at the park, and our kids were both at the park, and I had a good chat to him. They've been grooming Bomber.
Yeah,
and you've seen how good a job he did with the under-20s. He's respected by the playing group. I don't think it's a case of like Nathan Brown where he played with the players and then couldn't get their respect. I think it's an excellent appointment. Jim Dimmick.
Well, he was been at the club before with Ricky Stewart.
And I must say that our mate Luke Cavell, when that was announced, my phone pinged. And the first thing was Cavell just like giving the big thumbs up saying, "Welcome to the club, Jim Dimmick." Very cool. Highly thought of,
yeah,
as a football strategist.
He's been an assistant for a long time. And to keep in that role, you must have some talent in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Surely.
And also my mate Dave Howlett going up into the 20s. I think he'll make a huge fist of that. He's an excellent football brain. I think the coaching team strong under Flanagan.
Okay. Now, we might get into some of the team here. Backline options. She says, yes. Lynn says, yes, Sam wants Val at number one. What does Newman want? I'm just going to give you mine right now. It's going to be Val. It's going to be Fecky. It's going to be Latelli. It's going to be Dugan. I have Katoa on the wing.
Yeah.
I don't think Aaron Gray's week to week my man, but I'm happy to be proven wrong. And Moylan and Chad in my halves.
All right, my only difference is I have Katoa out, first in line, Jesse Ramian in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I look at him more as a centre, but...
Yeah, my only thing. And, cool, you know, they sort of groomed Ramian all last year.
Yeah.
To you know, they took him to England, and he played him over there, and he played a couple of games later in the year. So I think, you know, he's sort of had a bit of an apprenticeship there. So I put him in front of Katoa, but I have Katoa first in line. I was a fan of, if we got Pierce, of not playing Val at one.
Yeah.
But that's didn't happen, so it's not worth talking about.
Now, this one's just going to make your head explode. It's from Lynn, part four of the question. What do you think of the jumper?
No. I'm sorry, Barnsley.
Barnsley is our friend in merchandise.
I'm sorry. I love the away jersey. I hate the home jersey.
Hate's a strong word.
I hate it. Actually, I don't hate it the way I've hated some of our jerseys, but why change it?
Our opinion is we have the perfect jumper, so don't mess with it. They have messed with it. Thankfully, it hasn't lost its...
It kind of looks the way it should, which is something.
It kind of looks like it. It's just a bit funky.
Yeah. But it also looks like... So how many of those Super League teams have those really shallow Vs?
Shallow Vs, yeah.
Like, it's like almost like a trend in rugby league to have that shallow V, and then we're really late on the train. Your brand is so important. I swear to God, if I was CEO of this club and someone came into me and said, "We want to change the home jersey," you know what I'd do? I'd just get everybody in the room and say, "If anybody suggests this again, that's it. I'm going to light the place on fire." I love Barnsley, though. He's been so good to us.
I don't know if
us.
It's completely up to Barnsley. Like, Barnsley's integral, but...
I think it was Barnsley's design.
We love Barnsley. I didn't know he was a designer. Number five, and a very important question. It's a valid question, believe me. And I think I know the answer. How do we tackle discipline and unity in the 2018 season?
Now, I've said this before, right? James Maloney was responsible for the most penalties and the most errors of any player in 2016.
Correct.
2017.
Correct.
Sorry. He's now no longer in the squad. So you're immediately removing like five errors and three penalties per game.
You are.
The rest of the time, I don't know. That's the great coaching puzzle. I honestly think the removal of Maloney changes all that, because if you're a young player and you see a guy like with the gravitas of Maloney pulling that crap off, those bad penalties, you're thinking, oh, well, if he can do it, so can I.
Yeah, I just don't want the team to kind of rely on the fact that Maloney's gone, so everything will be sweet. Because he wasn't the only one doing it.
No.
Wado was way up there with the errors.
And Andrew Fifita is, you know, how would you describe him? You know, he great player but can make an error.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a complex genius is what he is. Thank you very much, Linny. We do appreciate that. Now, AFK at Shark 2420, he has two questions. One is, what is your round one lineup? But we're going to hold off on that until a few more episodes, I think, Newman.
Okay. Well, we're going to be calling the trial.
Yeah, we're going to be calling some trials.
Let's watch the trial first.
The trials are the 17th and 24th. 17th is against Manly at Shark Park. 24th is at Campbelltown against the Tigers.
But I'm going to tell you right now, it'll be Rami and in, Braden Ailey in, and that's the team. And, of course, Moylan in for Maloney.
We will cover it in a complex way, everybody, because we're looking forward to doing that. But he does have another question. Halves depth.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've had a main half injured.
It's Barney Rubble. It's Barney Rubble for any club if one of your main halves go down.
Yeah, he's a little bit worried. And he said, what are the options? And we've gone through one of them already.
Yeah, well, it's Barney Rubble. Like, if Chad Townsend or Moisa goes down, it's big trouble.
You're throwing in a young bloke. That's what
you're throwing in a young bloke, yeah.
At the moment, it's
and
one
I'll
two
be
guys.
Very interested to know how this young kid from the Storm, Brody Croft, can step into.
Well, he's already proven himself somewhat in first grade.
Yeah, come on.
No, he has.
Not week to week.
Not week to week, but he's also been in their system for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And Cooper Karonk has pretty much made it his mission to train him up.
I mean, basically, what happened last year with the Cowboys, you know, when JT went down and then Michael Morgan just went to this crazy next level. That is completely the exception. Normally, if you lose your main half, you're toast.
I'm hoping they might look to one or two younger guys, but we thank you very much for that question.
It'll be a mixture. If Townsend goes down, they'd look at Flanagan. If Moylan goes down, they'd probably put Wade in there.
Andrew's a good friend of ours. He said he would assume that Kyle Flanagan would get a go this season at some point. We think he will at some point. We're not sure when. Actually, Andrew said, what was the album of 2017?
Let's pretend it's our birthday, separated by a couple of years. It's Mystery Man, more scared of you than you are of me.
Yeah, that was a very good release.
What are you going with, Samuel?
Gosh, you know, I haven't even thought about it. This end of year shenanigans, rubbish.
99% Sharks, 1% Rock and Roll.
I did love the second album from the band Girls. No, I've got it wrong. My head's gone back to another era. The band Always from Canada, their second album. I couldn't tell you what it's called, but it's a very good album. They're a very good band. If you like your kind of girl, guy, rock pop kind of thing, indie rock, beautiful stuff. So I'd probably go with that release. I'm sure there's more.
I'm quite disappointed this year musically because a few of my favorite bands put albums out, like Propaganda put an album out, Hot Water Music put an album out, and they were all largely like, not crap, but, you know, that certainly wasn't their best work.
Well, AFK said all 2017 music was shit, just like it has been for 20 years. A small part of me agrees with you there, but not much of it. Speaking of music, Newman, let's go more than 1%. We are sitting in the Caring Bar Inn.
Okay.
There is so much music history here.
Yeah, I know.
from before our time. I've heard stories about AC/DC playing here.
Motorhead played here.
Is that right?
Motorhead played here.
Is that a fact?
That's 100% correct. My mate who lives out the... I've got a guy who lives behind me, and he's like a local rock and roll historian. He's got the bet. You got to come down and see his shed where his young boys play punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a bit of a historian anyway. 100% correct. Motorhead played here at the Carrying Bar Inn. But I'm just looking over your shoulder here, Samuel. There's a couple of tribute acts coming up. So Saturday next week, you can come and see the Bryan Adams. That's Bryan.
Not Ryan.
Not Ryan.
Okay.
Bryan Adams tribute show.
Yeah.
And then the following week, you can back it up with Monkey Wrench, the Fooey's.
I also saw
Fooey's tribute show.
On the other board, Newman, there's Blink 182 show.
I've seen that. I was here when that was on.
Yeah?
Shocking.
Worse than them live, or?
Well, I almost got into a blue that night, actually.
That doesn't surprise me.
What? I'm not a fighter.
You're not a fighter. Now, our friend from Fox Sports, Steve Hart, has a band.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's much original material there.
No, no, but it's a covers band.
He's playing here. He's goes all right for what he does.
Yeah.
But there is one original band playing here in the next week or two.
You give me head.
The Radiators the are back, baby.
They play quite often.
But what I was going to say, Newman, before you got wildly off the road.
I tend to do that.
I've seen some really cool shows here at the Carrying Bar Inn.
Mm.
My favourite was seeing the band All.
This blows me away. What time, what year are we talking here? Are we talking about 1997?
Yes, around then.
So I saw them on that tour. I saw them in Ulladulla.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow. It was the Shreen tour. And Chad was the singer.
Mm.
And to be 100% honest, I wasn't completely... I was aware of the Descendants. I had heard the Descendants, but I wasn't a fan at that point. But I came up to this show on my own, partly because Screamfeeder was supporting, but also...
I'm going to say something that's going to annoy you.
To check them out.
I don't like Screamfeeder.
This was earlier Screamfeeder than later Screamfeeder.
Any of it.
The second, no, you even heard the second album, obviously. It is their album. Here you go. You Love Me, Making Big Statements.
Here we go. Come on.
Burn Out Your Name by Screamfeeder. As good as Nirvana's Nevermind.
Oh, my God.
As good.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Anyway, I came and saw this band called All. And it was basically three quarters of the Descendants.
Bill Stevenson.
Carl Alvarez,
yeah.
And the lead guitarist.
What's his name? The ball guy, can't remember.
Ball guy.
Yep.
Steve and someone.
Steven, yep.
With this guy called Chad singing, and they were unbelievable. There was probably like 200 people in a room that held maybe 500, and it was life-changing. And I went home and I was like, oh my God, I just saw this band. And from then I became this massive Descendants fan, and All as well.
All. See, I'm one of the few people that likes All more than Descendants.
Well, you dropped a bombshell after a game last year, and proof of that is our friend RCB at the Leeds Club.
What did I do?
You said something like the Descendants have no melody, or you said something shocking. Well, RCB will write in and tell us.
I like Descendants, but I think they are overrated.
There you go. I drove you into that one.
I think I like them. And they got some great tunes. Mm-hmm. And I think Shattered Milo is one of my favorite all-time punk tunes. But I think the way that they're lauded.
Yeah.
I think All. I like All better. All are more melodic.
I like All very much.
I don't have a single thing to say.
I like them a lot. But the Descendants are not overrated in the slightest.
They are highly rated.
They're not overrated.
Doesn't mean they're bad.
They're not overrated. You're saying they're overrated.
That doesn't mean they're bad.
They're unbelievable. They were 14 years old writing these songs. What the hell were you doing when you were 14 years old?
You know what I know? You know what? My mate that has a historian, the punk rock historian, right? His boys, 15 and 13, play in the backyard. I sometimes play bass on them. We do the song Hope.
Yeah, beautiful song.
By Descendants. That is a great tune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got plenty of them.
I know. All right, anyway. Well, maybe we should... That's a great way to end the show, Samuel. Mm-hmm. Hope.
Hope.
Maybe we can, you know.
That could be the marketing thing for 2008 Sharks. Hope.
You could get on to Milo, you know, and just say, we're a professional sports club. We want to have our theme is hope.
Yeah.
We don't need
one dream, one team.
No, hope.
Full steam.
That's what we have. I don't think hope is just saying that we're crap and we're not going to make it, but we're certainly not going to be favourites, but we will be up there.
Absolutely.
This has been a lot of fun, Sam. You like the pub?
Yeah, yeah. They've looked after us here at the Caring Bar Inn, or as they call it now, the Caring Bar.
That's right. Now, one thing we need to point out for anybody who's listened to this to the end.
God bless you.
God bless you. But 2018, all contracts are null and void for ongoing sponsorship of the Shark Cast.
You're saying we have no sponsorship?
Well, we don't have any official agreements, but right. We'll continue to plug our sponsors because we love them.
I remember at our 100th episode party, the Game Against the Warriors, our number one sponsor, and we love all our sponsors, Kane Dyson, said to us, as long as you are on air, I've got you.
I love him so much.
So you can count Kane Dyson in right now.
Yeah, I know. Of course we can. But like, we don't have an official agreement.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's what I'm trying to say. So the books are open. And I'm sure Shark Island Brewing, those guys, they're going to be back.
Yeah.
And Endeavor Property Services, Craig.
Of course.
There's no way.
There's a guy who knows about music.
Mate, he does. And he also knows about the Sharks. But we are rambling. But if you want to sponsor this show, there are, you know, we go out to like at least 10 people a week.
Come on now. Don't be like that. Don't do that. Our numbers are good.
How many people do you reckon are still listening to the podcast right
now?
More
than 10.
10?
More than 10. So you're wrong, for starters. We have good numbers. I have written proof. I have evidence. If you want to sponsor this show.
How many people are listening to us talk about Descendants and all going, who are they talking about?
Yeah, but that's the great thing. They can go out and be educated, just like our listeners educate us. They can send in, you know, things that we might listen to. They might send us a young Sharks player who we have to keep an eye on. It's all one open book here, Newman, and
all right. We got hope, Samuel.
We've got hope.
Okay.
We'll go out with that song, I think.
We're going to go out with that song. So that wraps us up for another episode of Shark Cast Radio. Oh, man, we never said email us sharkcastpod@gmail.com.
Do it, yeah.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
Sharkcastpod.
Yeah, it was going off on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, we sent out a little thank you and everyone was loving us. So we love you back and thank you very much.
All right, Samuel, it's been good. Let's pound it.
Boom. Let's clink it. Let's clink it. Clink. Up Sharks. Hope.